When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
In my crib, I was stage struck. Behind a bib, I was stage struck. The very first time I spoke, unrehearsed, I told a funny joke. Most adolescents of teenage go daft about the machine age, but never me, for at his tie on one knee. Danny Boy, school was an error, a holy terror, but I love the pantomime. Dressed as a fairy, all pink and airy, I quoted the bard or palmed a card as I segued to Tipperary. Had no sister or brother, my boy, did I have a mother. She dressed me up, calmed me down, called me all over town. There's not a manager in the land she hadn't planned to see. Instantaneous tears of sorrow, extemporaneous glee. Phone available, stage struck me. I was born with a mission. A mission just to audition. A drafty hall, barren room. All they meant to me was love in bloom. On Monday I would play Dusa. On Tuesday Jean-Philippe Sousa. When we said grace at our meals, we all meant crazy fields. Armed with a trumpet, a toasted crumpet, I made every casting call. Sitting and waiting, gesticulating with my mandolin, I Charleston in for 10 minutes of imitating. When in heaven I went,
I guess that young lady really likes the theater. Well, hopefully you do as well. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting. Well, you may have enjoyed that song as much as I do, but wondered, what is it? I've never heard that before. Where is it from? Well, that was the young Marty Webb from the West End production of The Good Companions from 1974, with a terrific score by Andre Previn and our very own Johnny Mercer. And I couldn't help but think, as I watched the reviews and all the buzz about Les Miserables, the film, what a huge blockbuster that was, coming from the West End to New York in 1985 and obviously taking over the world. And I thought, aren't there some West End shows we simply don't know that are equally as good? And I think the answer is yes. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at West End winners. That's today's title. Songs that were terrific hits, or at least intelligent, smart shows over in England that never made it to Broadway. So if you are of an adventurous frame of mind, you will probably hear songs you never heard before today. But I hope you'll keep an open mind, because I think they're terrific. All right, so we're going to fly across the pond, as they say. As Robert Morley used to say, we'll take good care of you. So strap yourself in, and we're going to fly to the West End, and that world of Her Majesty's Theater and the Adelphi and Drury Lane and Shaftesbury Avenue. And our first stop, in fact, will be at the Adelphi Theater in 1929 for a show called Mr. Cinders. Now, Mr. Cinders was written by Vivian Ellis and Clifford Gray, who did a lot of work in sort of the post-Gilbert and Sullivan world of the teens and 20s. And very simple plot, it's a gender reversal of the Cinderella story. So our young hero is, in fact, a sort of impoverished footman who becomes a gentleman. And one song from the show became somewhat popular because it made it into Bobby Short's cabaret act. However, we will hear Dennis Lawson from the 1987 revival of the West End of Mr. Cinders, telling of his somewhat malapropistic escapades on the Amazon.
There's a danger zone, not a stranger zone. And a little spot I wot of that I call my own. Full of eerie sights, a weird and scary sights. Every fearsome animal that creeps or crawls or bites. On the Amazon, the hypodermics howl. On the Amazon, the prophylactics prowl. On the Amazon, you'll see the scarab scowl and sting. Zodiacs on the wing and the stalactites and vicious vertebrae hunt theodolites while laryngitis slay all the parasites that come from barricade in spring. Snarling equinox among the rocks will seize you, and the Fahrenheit comes out of night to freeze you. Wild iodoforms are lurking in the trees, and the jungle swarms with dread isosceles, where the Amazon is calling me.
What's he doing? I don't know. Oh.
A slaughter day.
Whoa.
When the habeas corpus gets the pomdater at bay. On the Amazon, the Pax vobiscum's fight. On the Amazon, the epiglottis fight. On the Amazon, the thermogenes at night all slink, where the agnostics drink and the metronomes, who lie concealed in mud, slay the catacombs, who swim on swamp and flood. Then the hippodromes dash up and drink their blood for ginks. Wild velocipedes among the weeds who will scare you, and the metaphors with hungry jaws ensnare you. Frenzied adenoids infest the hills and slopes. Everyone avoids the deathly stethoscopes, where the Amazon is calling me.
What's a frenzied adenoid?
On the Amazon, the bona fides breed. On the Amazon, among the serum weed. On the Amazon, you'll see the Ganymede stampede. Synonyms as they feed, kiss automatons, and vile polygamists crush the pentagons, who crawl within the mists. Then the hexagons by grim philatelists are freed. Hungry horoscopes. Rush out with ropes. And bind you. And the shibboleth, with its poison breath, will find you. Ghastly vacuums attack you in the gloom. From the desert comes the noxious nom de plume. Well, the Amazon is calling. Amazon is calling. Amazon is calling me.
Clearly, the first British invasion was not Cats and Les Mis and Phantom, but Gilbert and Sullivan back in the 1880s, 1890s. They just took over the American stage. But it worked both ways. In the 1920s, when we established our own songwriting teams, they went to England to write reviews and musical comedies, the Gershwins, Rodgers and Hart, and here's Cole Porter. Cole Porter was brought to, again, the Adelphi Theater in 1933 to write a musical called Nymph Errant, which starred the inimitable Gertrude Lawrence. And it was considered to be, quote-unquote, so British it never made it to Broadway, but it had a host of wonderful Cole Porter songs. It's about a young girl who leaves a girl's school to travel around the world. And that girl was Gertrude Lawrence. And here she's going to sing a song that she did not sing, but was sung to her by the schoolmistress. It's called Experiment. But here is Gertrude Lawrence from Cole Porter's Nymph Errant, again, the Adelphi Theater. Who knew?
Before you leave these portals to meet less fortunate mortals, there's just one parting message I would give to you. You all have learned reliance on the sacred teachings of science, so I hope through life you never will decline, in spite of Philistine defiance, to do what all good scientists do. Experiment. Make it your motto day and night. Experiment. And it will lead you to the light. The apple on the top of the tree is never too high to achieve. Just take an example from Eve. Experiment. Be curious, though interfering friends may frown. Get furious at each attempt to hold you down. If this advice you'll only employ, the future can offer you infinite joy and merriment. Experiment, and you'll see.
Was Gertrude Lawrence from Nymph Errant, sung by Cole Porter. Well, Gertrude Lawrence, Cole Porter, where would that naturally bring us? Of course, it would bring us to Noel Coward. And Coward had a lot of success bringing shows over from England to America in the 20s and 30s, reviews, plays, several of which he starred with Miss Lawrence. But in the 1940s, he had a go at a show, and it's sort of the more in the Rodgers and Hammerstein mold. And here's my trivia question. I think I've asked it four times on the air. What musical did Mary Martin star in the 1940s with the word Pacific in the title? And if you said South Pacific, you'd be right. But if you got Pacific 1860 by Noel Coward, you would be a gem. And speaking of gems, here's a beautiful song from that score, sung by Mary Martin, who would go on to become great chums with Noel Coward, from a West End winner called Pacific 1860.
Shadow on the sea, no warning star appeared, the skies were free. No vagrant gypsy told me of a fascinating stranger, gave no hint of where the danger might be. Then came this strange, disturbing joy, this love that I so desired. The sun and the moon conspired above me. Now like a ghost, I watch my happiness depart. The light of love has cast a shadow. Ambition, my compass and my chart, moments I heedlessly squandered, now return to haunt me, mocking at my heart. Love with its lovely illusions, I neatly, discreetly set aside. Fear kept me safe from confusion, leaving me with only loneliness and pride. Cold was the starlight above me. Time in its passing was slow. I had no need of a lover to love me. But oh, that was long ago. I saw no shadow on the sea, no voices called to me, my life was free. How could I open wide my arms to the paradise around me, when no love had ever found me? And then I dream some foolish dreams, and leaving my world behind, I gaily set out to find my love. Now in a moment, all those dreams are gone.
Mary Martin from Noel Coward's Pacific 1860. The golden age of the American musical from the mid-40s up through the 60s cast itself a long shadow across the sea. To England, there were many West End productions of Oklahoma, Carousel, Pajama Game, you name it. And at the same time, British writers were pioneering efforts to compete in that kind of narrative musical mode. One of the most successful writers was a young man named Sandy Wilson, who wrote The Boyfriend, a pastiche of 1920 shows like Mr. Cinders, which had a big success in England, of course, but also on Broadway, and it brought Julie Andrews to our shores. Another effort somewhat later in the 1950s was Valmith, with a score by Sandy Wilson. And it's about a group of British people who meet in the Edwardian era at a spa, and again, considered to be way too British, but an excellent score, such smart music. And here's Cleo Lane, who was in the production, which transferred from the Lyric Hammersmith in 1958 to the West End, to sing a wonderful, funny little song to a tiny girl baby.
While you can, the time is coming and it don't come slow, when you'll grow bigger and before you know, you'll be kept awake by a man. Little girl baby, just you sleep on. The time is coming in the years ahead, you'll lie uneasy on your marriage bed, wondering where your husband has gone. Sleep well, sleep tight, whether it's day or night. Sleep sound, sleep good. The time is coming when you'll wish you could. Little girl baby, you'll be grown. So sleep on now until the morning break. The time will come when you'll be kept awake by a little girl baby of your
In the late 50s, early 60s, there was a new generation of British writers who felt that they could create a homegrown musical equal to anything on Broadway. And one of the leading lights was Lionel Bart, who in 1960 became the spotlight of the West End with his score to Oliver, which for a long time was the longest-running show on the West End and obviously had great success in America, in a film, and around the world. And he was very adventurous because he decided in his, I think, second show after Oliver to write a musical set during the Blitz in London about a Jewish family whose, you know, kids marry Gentiles, etc. And his kind of Tevye, if that's the word, the lodestar of that show, was a domineering British mother named Mrs. Blitzstein. Get it? And it was this tremendously ambitious show. The scenery recreated the Blitz and the underground stations that people hid in, and destruction and various London landmarks. Anyway, a very good kind of Brechtian, Blitzstein-like score. Again, never made it to America. Too bad. Here are two songs that I think are wonderful about life during England during wartime. Mrs. Blitzstein is played by a woman named Amelia Baton, I know nothing about, but she sings a song about Hitler, which is as rousing and funny as anything in Oliver. And then Bart did something kind of wonderful. He used Vera Lynn, who was the voice of World War II England, very much the way, I don't know, Martha Tilton or Tex Beinecke were in America at the time, and got her to record an original song he wrote, a sort of pastiche of the White Cliffs of Dover. So we'll hear two songs from Blitz. The first one takes on that awful geezer, Hitler.
Who's this geezer, Hitler? Who does he think he is? We'll show that Führer is surer than surer that he will soon get his. If he was much a littler, he would disappear. He's a nasty little basket with a black moustache, and we won't have him here. He was a paper hanger when he started his career as Mrs. Schickelgruber's only son. Oh dear, Adolf's dropped the clanger if he thinks he's coming here. We don't want any paper hanging down. So,
who's this geezer in love? Who does he think he is? We'll show that you're up, it's your love, and you're up, that he will soon get his. If he was much in love, he would disappear. It's a nasty little basket with a black mustache, and we won't have him here.
They say he had a father, his father had his fun. He stayed around to see how long it lasted. Then Adolf came along and his papa went on the run. And that's why poor old Adolf's flabbergasted.
Who's this geezer in love? Who does he think he is? We'll show that you're up, it's your love, it's your love, and he will soon get his. If he was
sent with love from Mum, Dad, Jean, and little Robert. And now for all our forces on land, sea, and air, our own forces sweetheart, Vera Lynn.
The day after tomorrow will be here soon. The day after tomorrow, they'll play our tune, and we'll harmonize together, sweet and low, once again, dear, just you realize wherever. I'm waiting here
till then. Should you be lonely, just think of me, and we'll never be really
voice of a British legend, Vera Lynn, giving some offstage support to the cast of Blitz, a musical about London during the Second World War. Noel Coward was not a fan. He said that Blitz was twice as long and twice as loud as the real thing. So maybe in the 1960s, there was a movement to go back to more traditional English subjects, perhaps in a more operatic, romantic way. And in 1964, a musical appeared on the West End at the Lyric Theater that I think is one of the greatest scores ever written for the musical stage. How about that? And it's never been seen in America, or certainly not on Broadway. There's been some small productions. It's called Robert and Elizabeth. And if you took English literature in college or high school, you know it probably refers to Robert Browning and Elizabeth Barrett, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and their great romance, which is one of the great stories of all time in the middle of the Victorian era. It had been a famous play called The Barretts of Wimpole Street, but for legal reasons, the show never made it across the pond. Let's hear two songs by two tremendous performers. The first is Keith Michelle playing the effervescent Robert Browning, who's finally summoned to tea by the reclusive Elizabeth Barrett. And then we'll hear a wonderful singer named June Braunhill, who originated the part of Maria in the Australian Sound of Music in the early 60s, as Elizabeth Barrett bemoaning the fact that her sickness and her illness will confine her to be a recluse forever. But first, Keith Michelle with some awfully good news.
Bad news, sir?
Bad news. You've just brought me the most superlatively good news since the dove brought the first green leaf to Noah.
Five. What's that, Mr. Browning, sir?
She's invited me to tea.
Ah, that's nice.
Nice. Man, the heavens have opened. Tell the sky. I carry the moon in my pocket. Down came the moon like a rocket and plummeted into my pocket. The morning sun must have forgotten to lock it. I carry the moon in my pocket and the lightning is shining with stars. Depressed was I when suddenly out of the blue came glittering crescent and new came a luminous letter from you came. Now hope soars high and nothing can possibly stop it. I carry the moon in my pocket and my jacket is Venus and Mars. Trumpets ring out, come choristers sing out, every bold, bright banner and flag be unfurled. The moon and I are treading a heavenly highway, so anyone traveling my way, all's right with the world. I carry the moon, a magical moon, a marvelous moon in my pocket, a magical moon, a mellifluous tune, and all's right with the world.
You carry the moon, a magical moon, a marvelous moon in your pocket, a magical moon, a catch of a tune, and all's right with the world. Tell the sky, you carry the moon in your pocket, dropping the moon like a rocket, and plummeted into your pocket. The morning sun, you must have forgotten to lock it. You carry the moon in your pocket, and the light is shining with stars.
Lightning, thunder, the earth is a wonder, see where every valley and hill is dew-pearled. The Milky Way has added a carpet of glory, the finishing touch to the story is all right with the world. The finishing touch, the delicate touch, the twist in the wrist of the story, the ultimate touch is certainly such that all's right with the world. And crescendo, come waters to blend, oh, let your clearing ears message be hurled. Proclaim to all the moon is as light as a feather when you and your lover together. All's right with the world. The moon is as light, the moon is as light, the moon is as light as a feather. It comes from above with a symbol of love. It comes from above with its message of love. It comes from above, and when you're in love, all's right, all's right, all's right with the world. All's right with.
The seasons fly and the days drift by to the aimless tick of the clock. And the doctors call and puzzle and frown and strike a professional pose. And one says this and the other says that as they dither and differ and diagnose. But for all their chatter, the truth of the matter is no one really knows what's wrong. Nobody really knows what's wrong. as you may be well, they say, what's wrong with me? 10 years, that's almost a century. What's wrong with me? Why do my arms and legs and feet decline to do what every fiber of my being begs them to? Even a dog can move at will. Even a child of 3 can stand. Must I be like this, alone in all the land? Is it so very much to ask such an extravagant demand? Why am I wasn't always like this. When I was small, I was lithe and strong and rather wild, a tomboy in fact. I doubt you'd have known me. Like a boy, I took to the trees. Like a boy, I rode and I ran. I tumbled and fought, and the family thought she'd grow up to be a man. Quicksilver swift was I, and as boisterous as they came. And you'd never have thought I'd a thought in my head or a poem to my name. Black and blue from the fights I'd had with the neighbors and friends next door. If anyone said it was time for bed, I'd protest just one fight more. Not a care in the world had I, nor an introspective fear. I was supple and strong as the day was long. Until Edward died. And then something inside. Well, nothing was quite the same since Edward. Nothing was quite the same. And now I'm a woman of parts with a talent to rhyme and scan. And now I can do what few can do, but not what everyone can. For a long time it didn't seem to matter, not really, until you came, Robert, when you
And the curtain falls at the end of Act One of the astonishing score to Robert and Elizabeth. That was June Braunhill singing this plaintive musical soliloquy. Very dramatic, well done, and probably unknown to almost all of you. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on Peconic Public Broadcasting. And today we're looking at shows that did not make it from the West End to Broadway for a lot of reasons, none of which had to do with their inherent excellence. I think they're all very, very good shows. So we're going to take an interval here, as they say in England, and we'll have our gin and tonics and our whiskey and sodas ready for us at the bar, the Circle Bar. Have we done that? Okay, very good, because we've got a lot to cover in our second act. West End musicals in the 60s and 70s were desperate to compete with their American counterparts, and sometimes they actually brought some great American composers over to England. In 1972, there was a really astonishingly, quote-unquote, English musical, because it was about the most famous British personality of all, practically, Queen Victoria. It's called I and Albert. It's a whole story of Victoria's romance with Prince Albert all the way through his death and her widowship and her Diamond Jubilee. So a long story. And they brought over Charles Strauss and Lee Adams. Yes, those same guys who wrote Bye Bye Birdie and Golden Boy, such American shows, to write this score. But I think they did a terrific job. And here's a kind of linchpin number towards the middle of the first act of I and Albert, where Prince Albert learns from the young Queen Victoria how noble the British Commonwealth actually is.
Albert, what are you playing?
Thuringian, a Falkirk. This gentle land, these woods of pine, happy I climb each pleasant hill, until I'm in a church of trees. Spires of light rise golden and still, this land of beauty that God has planned. Gentle it lies, neath peaceful skies. Thank you, dear God, for this gentle land.
Will you miss your home?
Yes, yes, I will.
I'm afraid you must adjust your mind to a land that is not gentle and patient. The English are very good, but they are aspiring, which is proper because they know they are right.
Always?
Oh, yes. God would not have given us this great power except for good. It is unthinkable. That is why the English are so proud, so unswerving, so noble.
You are so sure.
This noble land, this precious isle, staunch as the cliffs that guard her shore, our task is great, to lead the world wise in peace, triumphant in war.
Triumphant in war!
That was Polly James and the Swedish singer Sven Bertil Taube doing justice to a great score by Strauss and Adams from I and Albert. Another American who came across the pond to help out on the West End was Johnny Mercer, one of our favorite lyricists, and he turned to that most British of novels by J.B. Priestley, The Good Companions, about a touring group of amateur performers in England, with a score by André Previn, who straddled actually both continents. Here is the title number from the 1974 show. I think it was at Her Majesty's. And you'll hear the cast of Good Companions, and if you listen closely, you'll hear a little Judi Dench and a little John Mills. A very buoyant show and a wonderful score. I'm happy to share it with you.
When voyagers are cast away on strange exotic lands, much precious time is passed away in wringing of the hands. Far better to fall in with one another, find something else to eat besides each other.
Kind fate sees fit to stake us all to brandy and cigars, the vehicle to take us all towards the distant stars.
Good companions, stick together, sunny skies or stormy weather, birdies of uncommon feather, come what may.
Even when the raindrops tumble, good companions never grumble. Them's the breaks, as William Shakespeare used to say.
Through the highways and the byways of our native land, playing both the big time and the one night stand, hand in hand. Good companions, that's the ticket. This whole life's a game of cricket, sitting duck or sticky wicket, work or play. We're good companions all, and we are on our way.
Listen, everybody. I think Mr. Jonathan's just given us the name for the show. The Good Companions. Now, what do you think of that? The Good Companions.
I like it. It's original.
It'll look rotten on the bill.
Too highbrow, Miss Trond.
Well, could I say something?
Yes,
I think Good Companions is just fine. And may you make good companions of folk who come and see and hear you. And may you never look back.
Yeah!
I give you the Good Companions.
The Good Companions.
Hello, this is Larry Maslon. We're celebrating some West End winners, great songs from the British stage that didn't make it to America for whatever reasons. And one of my favorite shows came out in 1978, and it was a review. Now, remember, this was the period where you had Side by Side by Sondheim and Cowardy Custard and Old Coward, all these little, and then Ain't Misbehaving, these, and then I wrote reviews. And this is a British review based on the songs of Mooney Shapiro. Now, Mooney was an Irish lad who came to New York in the 20s and grew up on the Lower East Side and triumphed in Hollywood and wrote many hit songs. And what do you mean you don't know who he is? You've never heard of Mooney Shapiro? Well, you wouldn't have, because he's entirely a fictitious character. And for the musical Songbook, the gifted songwriters Monty Norman and Julian Moore decided to create a review around someone who never existed. So what that means is their very clever cast of six did an entirely pastiche score, which I think is so smart and so imaginative. So here are two songs from Mooney Shapiro's career, the first from the 1920s, which may remind you of George Gershwin, and then two songs from the 1940s, which may remind you of the kind of Vera Lynn song we heard earlier in the program. Here is the talented cast of Songbook.
Of a tugboat, the honking of a horn, the sweetest music wakes me every morn. The
clanging of a trash can in the early morning dawn. How lovely that cacophonous clash can be. That's my East River.
What's in the world I'm doing to you?
In a street in a far foreign town, marching by, marching by. She waved as I went marching by, and I pray she will stay till I come back this way, marching by. Marching by, marching by. She waved as I went marching by, and I pray she will stay till I come back this way, marching by.
Have another beer.
Hurrah!
Isn't it great to celebrate with everybody here?
Hurrah!
While those planes are writing in the sky,
V-I-C-T-O-R-Y.
Back over all the oceans, of their returning.
Well, we had a good time today looking at some of those West End winners, some of which you may never have heard. Songbook will be our last show to play today. It did make a brief appearance on Broadway for one performance only, so I'm not going to count it. A lot of the songs we listened to today, being that they came from the British theater or about the British topics, British personalities, British themes and ideas. And the last song from Songbook not only encapsulates them all, but gives a slightly wry, what would I say, dash of bitters into the cocktail of nostalgia. The British musical obviously had no trouble succeeding in the 80s, 90s, and up to today. And we will take a look at those shows, I'm sure, in a future episode of Broadway to Main Street. But that's forward-looking. Let's take a look backwards and embrace some nostalgia with the cast of the 1978 West End winner, Songbook.
Nostalgia is your Tiffany lamps. Nostalgia is your Jean Harlow vamps. As for me, I'm forgetting when Maxie died and which year was the Wall Street crash and the suicide. The 30s were the music of coal and Gertie's gay gavorting with Noel. As for me, I've a memory like a drain. Who was that boy who lost a leg in the war in Spain? Which good old days were good for who? For some terrific, for some poor bums. Boo-hoo. Nostalgia is the voice of a stare. Nostalgia is a full head of hair. You can keep every glamorous air take gown. The Goldwyn Follies, beginning of swing, and Teddy and Wallace doing their thing, cause far, far worse was happening. And nostalgia gets me down. Nostalgia is your old Nazi kitsch. Nostalgia with a sinister switch. You can keep Darling Hitler and Eva Braun. The angels dining at every damn Ritz. The silvery lining after the blitz. The brave new world we blew to bits. Nostalgia gets me down.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.